Blog Talk Radio.
Mosques, clerics, and so on, schools,
came across in this recent, he just put on the spray all over the huge sunny areas from Zuni influence, and it continues. It's Saudi Arabia itself has one of the most grotesque human rights records in the world. ISIS beheadings, which shock everyone. Listen, I think Saudi Arabia is the only country where you have regular beheadings. It's the least of the amount of overcamp drive, so on and so forth. And it is strongly backed by the United States and its allies, President France. The reason it's got a lot of oil, it's got a lot of money, you can sell a lot of arms, I think tens of millions of dollars of arms. And the actions that it's carrying out, for example, in Yemen, which you mentioned, are causing an immense humanitarian catastrophe in a pretty poor country, also stimulating jihadi terrorism, naturally. If you U.S. and also British arms, French are coming into it as well. And this is a very ugly story. Saudi Arabia itself.
You know, I told myself I wasn't going to speak much. But Saudi Arabia, as well as quite a few African nations and other Arab nations, still practice slavery. Still practice slavery. So, hello? Junta, are you listening? Are you listening? Breaker, breaker. Are you listening, Kunta? They still practice slavery. Chattel slavery. Also, Iran is a country that leads in beheading. Currently. As part of their social justice. So, like, you get tickets, they behead you over there. You go to jail here, you do 90 days? No, you lose your head over there. That's how they deal with it. And if you're on the fray of political dissidents, outside their opinion and value viewpoint, then of course, off with his head. All right, enough talking. We're going to speed this up. Oh, I boo-boo. See, I boo-boo. I hate when I boo-boo, because I make major boo-boo. Oh, well, see, the Lord wants me to run my mouth. That's what it is. So we're forwarding the audio past the point that we were at. The thing about Saudi Arabia is that they support so many evil plots and plans across the universe that you would think that why continue to do business with them, particularly when they've jury-rigged the oil price to get it so low that only way they make money is on abundance. So why does the traditional themes, I mean, going back to beyond Cortez, beyond the conquistadors, we seem to be, as humans, in the same...
I'm sorry, but I'm going to get arms from our allies, Qatar, Saudi Arabia.
Here he goes again.
The CIA is learning, we don't know at what level it's going to invest in, but as much as possible, cut back the flow.
Oh, that's not where I want to be. So we seem to be in the same battle. I mean, if it's not the 50s Cold War, it's the 80s Cold War. If it's not the 80s, it's just to get out of a political cycle here in America whereby you don't continue down the same path that you did administration in and administration out, decades in, decades out, and nothing changes. And that is the legacy that's passed along to the citizenry.
The leaders have smashed up Libya, destroyed a functioning society.
You're not where I want to be yet with this piece. Now, I had it all queued up, but, you know, sometimes, me and the button. And again, I'm working from 1, 2, 3, 4, well, maybe 4.5 devices. That's no excuse, but is it possible that they also have a stronghold on my studio and they are trying to overtake me? I hear sirens. We're almost there. Can you hear those sirens? They're buzzing up and down the street. Now, most of the streets around this area are blocked because we have the space shuttle tanks coming through slowly at 5 miles an hour, 2 miles an hour.
It's a very ugly story. The Saudi Arabia itself is.
Okay, we're back to where we want to be with Saudi Arabia. But we actually want to go a little further ahead of that. And we're listening to Noam Chomsky, an interview with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Sorry, Amy, that I'm chopping this up so poorly. It's your message out somehow.
I've been going out of atmosphere. Less than he can do. And he used to be able to overthrow governments, carry out coups of will, and so on. He tries. But there have been maybe he can say a count who's who attempts this century. The one in Venezuela in 2002 succeeded for a couple of days back by the U.S. overthrown by popular reaction. The second in Haiti, 2004, succeeded. The U.S. and France had to help kidnap the president off to Central Africa. They won't permit his party to run the elections. So that was a successful coup. Honduras, under Obama, there was a military coup, overthrew a reformist president. The United States was almost alone in pretty much legitimizing the coup, claiming that these elections under the coup regime were legitimate. Honduras was always a very poor, repressed society, became a little hard chamber. Huge flow of refugees we throw back in the border, back to the violence which we helped create. Paraguay, there was kind of a semi-coup. What's happening? Also, the get rid of a progressive priest who was running the country briefly. What's happening in Brazil now is extremely unfortunate in many ways. First of all, there has been a massive level of corruption. Regrettably, the Workers' Party, the Lula's party, which had a real opportunity to achieve something extremely significant and did make some considerable positive changes, nevertheless joined the rest of the traditional elite in just wholesale robbery. And that should be punished. On the other hand, what's happening now, what you quoted from also, I think it's pretty accurate. It's a kind of a soft coup. But the elite, he tested the Workers' Party and is using this opportunity to get rid of the party that won the elections, not waiting for the elections, which they probably lose, but they want to get rid of it. Exploiting an economic recession, which is serious, and the massive corruption that's been exposed was. Even the New York Times pointed out Dilma Rousseff is maybe the one politician who hasn't, stolen. as counterfeit. I am so cool. I think that's correct.
I wanted to move back to the United States, to the issue of the Republican Party and what you see happening there. The Republican establishment fiercely opposed to the presumptive nominee. I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this, although that could be changing. Can you talk about the significance? I mean, you have Sheldon Adelson, who is now saying he will pour, tens of millions of dollars into Donald Trump. You have the Koch brothers, I think it was Charles Koch, saying he could possibly see supporting Hillary Clinton. If that were the choice with Donald Trump, what is happening?
Well, first of all, the phenomenon that we've just seen is an extreme version of something that's been going on for years in the Republican primaries. Take a look back at the preceding ones. Every time a candidate came up from the base, back when came Santorum, Huckabee, the one greater than the other, every time one rose from the base, the Republican establishment sought to beat them down and get their own man, Romney, and they succeeded until this year. This year, the same thing happened, but they didn't succeed. The pressure from the base was too great for them to beat it back. Now, that's the disaster that the Republican establishment sees. But the phenomenon goes way back, and it has roots. It's kind of like, it's got to ask about the roots. What are the roots? The Republican, both political parties, have shifted to the right during the neoliberal period. The Reagan goes back to late Carter, that's later under Reagan, during this period, which has been a period of stagnation and decline for much of the population in many ways, wages, benefits, security, and so on, along with an enormous wealth concentrated in a tiny fraction of the population, mostly financial institutions, which have a dubious, if not harmful, role in the economy. This has been going on for a generation. And while this has been happening, there's a kind of a vicious cycle of more concentration of wealth, concentration of political power, legislation to increase concentration of wealth and power, and so on. But while that's been going on, much of the population has simply been cast aside. The working class is bitter and angry for lots of reasons, including the minority populations were hit very hard by the Clinton destruction of the welfare system and the incarceration rules. They still tend to support the Democrats, but tentatively because the alternative is worse, and they're taking a kind of pragmatic stand. But while the parties have shifted so far to the right that today's mainstream Democrats are pretty much what used to be called moderate Republicans, and the Republicans are just off the spectrum. And they've been correctly described by leading conservative commentators like Ornstein and Thomas Mann as just what they call a radical insurgency, which is abandoned parliamentary politics. And they're not even trying to conceal it. As soon as Obama was elected, Mitch McConnell said, we went straight out. We have only one policy.
Dedicate to the boys, Roger Clab.
I'm fucking down that I am no longer in good. I'm back in school, nigga. I'm a number 10 that
I'm looking at me in my crossbow shite. Wanna save my life and won't forget when I see all through. bit. Never let these niggas take what my nigga never do. They do say he going through a thing, but y'all ain't never lied. I got a baby, but his mama act like he ain't mine. We can tell you the tears when to live on. When I hurt, try to hate, cause he know the thrill is gone. Say, man, I stopped smoking with haters back in 94. But niggas thinking that if we gon' get them through my dope.
Very rich and very powerful in the corporate sector. You cannot vote that way. So therefore, the Republicans have been compelled to turn to sectors of the population that can be mobilized and organized on other grounds, kind of trying to put to the side the actual policies, hoping, the establishment hopes, that the white working class will be mobilized to vote for their bitter class of enemies who want to shaft them in every way by appealing to something else, like so-called social conservatism, abortion rights, racism, nationalism, and so on. And to some extent, that's happened. That's the kind of thing that Fritz Stern was referring to in the article that I mentioned about Germany's collapse, this descent into barbarism. So what you have is a voting base consisting of evangelical Christians, ultra-nationalists, racists, disaffected, angry, the white working class sectors that have been hit very hard, that are not by third world standards, but by first world standards. We even have the remarkable phenomenon of an increase in mortality among these sectors that just doesn't happen in developed societies. All of that is a voting base. It does produce candidates who terrify the corporate wealthy elite establishment. In the past, they've been able to beat them down. This time, they aren't doing it. And that's what's happening to the so-called Republican Party. But we should recognize, if we were honest, we would say something that sounds utterly shocking, and no doubt will be taken out of context and lead to hysteria on the part of the usual suspects. But the fact of the matter is that today's Republican Party qualify as candidates for the most dangerous organization in human history. Literally, take their position on the two major issues that face us: climate change, nuclear war. On climate change, it's not even debatable. They're saying, let's race to the precipice. Let's make sure that our grandchildren have the worst possible life. On nuclear war, they're calling for increased militarization, already way too high. More than half the discretionary budget, let's shoot it up and cut back other resources by cutting back tax on the rich so there's nothing left. Nothing is literally as dangerous, if you think about it, to the species, really, ever.
Do you think that President Obama has intensified this threat? I mean, now with the $1 trillion plan to, quote, modernize the nuclear arsenal?
It's a very bad step. It's not just modernizing the arsenal, which ought to be reduced. Worth remembering, we have even a legal obligation to cut back and ultimately eliminate nuclear weapons. But it's also, something you mentioned earlier, developing these small nuclear weapons. Sounds kind of nice. They're small, not big. It's the opposite. Small nuclear weapons provide a temptation to use them. Figuring little tiny small weapons that won't destroy the whole city. But the sense you use a small nuclear weapon, chances of retaliation escalate pretty sharply. And that means you could pretty soon be in a situation where you're having a real nuclear exchange. Pretty well known now that that would lead to a nuclear winter, which would make life essentially impossible.
Has President Obama had Hiroshima, do you think he should be apologizing for the only nuclear bombs, atomic bombs dropped in the world, the U.S. dropping them, launching the nuclear age on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 45.
I'm old enough to remember that day was just maybe the grandest day I can remember. Then came something even worse, the bombing of Nagasaki, and mainly to try to test the new weapon design. And these are real horror stories. The bombing, firebombing of Japanese cities a couple months earlier, it was not that much better, Tokyo especially. We might even recall that there was what was called a grand finale in the Air Force history. After the atom bombs, after Russia had entered the war, which ended any Japanese hope for any kind of any hope that they had for any sort of negotiated settlement, after that it was all over. After Japan had officially surrendered, though, before the had been made public. After that, the U.S. organized a 1,000-plane raid, which was a big logistic feat, to bomb Japanese cities to show the Japs who was on top and the survivors. So Makoto Oda, a well-known Japanese writer who recently died, reported that as a child in Osaka, he remembers bombs falling along with leaflets saying Japan has surrendered. Now, that was not a lethal bombing, but it was a brutal one, a brutal sign of brutality. All of these events call for serious rethinking. Yes, apology, but mainly serious rethinking of just what we're up to in the world. And remember that this goes on. Those were small bombs by today's standards. If you look at the record since 1945, it's an absolute miracle that we survive. New examples are discovered all the time.
Trapping under monkey death box stars, wearing synthetic wigs made of hand wash, red rocks, harder than a motherfucking flintstone, making crack rocks out of a piece of fish bones. This nigga Jeff.
Security advisor, speaking of Brzezinski at the time.
I'm trying to get the about 7 of the bitches.
He was actually on the phone.
My dick, boy, there's my uncle telling him, and I'm a school leader, this thing is funny.
It is
telling him that this
could be getting information saying that it was a false alarm.
It's good with me, it's good, shut the fuck up. And I went to my therapist, shit, I'm trying to fucking off him with this thing.
Fuck money, diamonds, and bitches don't need them. What a fact is that?